We're back here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Nita Marks with you, and now we're joined by our next guest, Tom Rock from Newsday. But before we get to Tom, I want to remind you that you should not forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. And Tom, of course, covers the Giants for Newsday.
Jerry Reese better be a DraftKing this year.
That's right.
Well, and you know what?
Nice segue.
And Jerry Reese spoke to the media yesterday, and as always, Tom is on the front lines trying to get as much information
right in
out
row.
Of the Giants
Actually,
general manager as possible.
Actually, trying to get a question in. Who are all these, like,
there was
who
a
are
lot
all
of
these
questions.
People we've never even seen before asking questions?
I did not expect a Mikhail Thompson question.
Yeah, how about that one?
But it came out, and you know what, though?
And your facial expressions, by the way, are priceless. somebody needs to have a video on your facial expressions when somebody's asking questions. It's priceless.
I think generally I just kind of look around to see if anybody else recognizes the absurdity of what's happening.
Fair. What was your biggest takeaway from Jerry yesterday?
Well, I think he was honest about what he needs, and that's a little bit of everything. He said they need good players, and that's not what they have right now, and that's not what they've had for the last few years, and that's why they're in the straits that they are right now. It sounds a little bit like a speaking point, like he's being glib when he says we need good players and we need them all over the roster.
But it's true.
But right now it's true. You know, in the past we've kind of rolled our eyes when he said we need to take the best player available and not worry about need. I think when you look at this draft, that's exactly what they need is whoever the best player available is, they'll take him because he will be a need unless he's a starting quarterback, which is really the only position where you can't really see an upgrade right now. Whoever they pick at 10, I think, is going to come in and be an immediate improvement.
Well, I think it's interesting because we've had a lot of scouts on, and a number of them feel that Ezekiel Elliott will be there at 10, and at that point in time, they feel that Elliott will be the best player on the board. So
pretty interesting.
Right. So is it true to form? Do they take the best player on the board if Elliott is still there?
Right.
You know, I don't – you know, that's going to be intriguing.
You got to see if you're – how many of the questions you've answered in free agency at that point.
That's a great point.
Because at that point, you're going to know if you have the pass rusher that you need. You're going to know if you have the offensive lineman that you need. You're going to know if you have –
safety.
A veteran safety, yeah. Right? You're going to know if Prince is back or not, and you're going to know if you have to replace him or not.
What
or
linebackers did you bring in? I mean, there's a million questions.
There's so many questions. Now, it's very intriguing to think about an offense with Odell making one-handed catches down the field and Ezekiel Elliott jumping over people with the ball in his hands, and all of a sudden now you could have potentially two of the top five or six playmakers in the league in one offense. I mean, you know, that would be a pretty dynamic combination, I would think, and they would probably help each other. But I don't think at that point, if they go running back, they're going to have had a really good free agency period at that point to justify that pick. Now you look at what they've done in the past. You know, they were gaga over David Wilson's speed. And Ezekiel Elliott seems to be sort of in the same ballpark in terms of speed-wise. We're going to see. He's going to run his 40 a little bit later today. But he seems to also be a much more well-rounded back, the kind of guy you can plug right in.
Pass protection, catch it, blitz, everything.
Blitz pick up, all those things that David Wilson never really had time to click with.
Yeah, I forgot who was on with us yesterday. He was saying that it's been a long time since a back of his caliber has stepped up and with this type of pass protection skills, because you just don't see it in a lot of the young running backs coming out these days that really pride themselves on blocking and pass protection, and so that's really lifted his value in this draft.
He was talking a little bit yesterday about how when he started playing football, he actually started as a fullback, and eventually became a tailback. But
and by the way, the funny thing about that, then they asked him, when did you play fullback?
Yeah,
he said, when
old.
I was 7 years old at Bob Warner. So. That's what he said.
That's crazy.
It still counts.
It's funny, though.
But he also said that when he got to Ohio State, he recognized right away that if he was going to play with those grown-ups, basically, and he was a 17-year-old kid, he had to figure out how to block and how to use the scheme to his advantage, and he did that.
Just a quick note here, because you talked about the running backs going today. So I know a lot of people, if you're like me, I'm tuned into the NFL Network because it's nonstop coverage. Offensive linemen and running backs today, quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends tomorrow. Defensive linemen and linebackers on Saturday, and then DBs on Monday. If you're tuning in and you want to see all the fun, so
you have a better view than we do because
we don't have view.
I'm not allowed in the arena.
People always ask about that.
Are you
putting your name in the pot for the quarterbacks for tomorrow?
No, I'm going home.
Oh, you are. Okay.
Not until Eli retires. Then I'll go in and watch the.
And the bigger problem is that the TVs that they have in the media room, they don't volume on them. So all you're seeing, you're not hearing, you know, Mayock break down all these guys. All you're seeing is, you know, guys running and times pop up. So
what are we doing here, John?
We talked to a lot of people the last couple of days that work for a lot of NFL teams. That's what we're doing here. And a lot of the talk, Tom, is about free agency. And obviously the Giants have, as you talked about, have a lot of work to do. And is this unique for you, seeing the Giants in this situation where they have so many resources, and we talked about all the needs? Have you seen them in this situation before heading into free agency?
No, I don't think anybody has. This is a pretty unique scenario here with what could be close to $60 million to spend in free agency. Unfortunately for them, just about every other team in the league also has that windfall and that kind of bankroll right now, and it's just a matter of degrees, and they're all protecting their players that they drafted who would normally be coming out on the market right now. So you get to see players like Von Miller, players like Alshon Jeffrey, players like Josh Norman, who would normally be coming out on the market. Teams would be more hesitant to use the franchise tag to put $14 million towards the salary cap on a one-year guaranteed deal for a franchise player is no big deal because everybody's got that kind of space. So it's sort of a catch-22 for the Giants that they're going to be spending all that money on the second-rung players from teams. The players that teams are willing to let go as opposed to the ones that they would like to keep. And so that comes back to the draft history of the Giants, because all of these teams have those players who are getting their second contracts with the teams, and the Giants really aren't in that position right now to have second contract guys.
I'd like to go back to Jerry Reese's press conference yesterday.
Yeah, sure.
And I thought he spent a lot of time talking about what's going on with the safety position and reminding a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Bennett Jackson, Nat Burhe, Mikael Thompson. That these are guys that they were expecting, you know, some performance and contribution to the team, and they all went down.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we're talking about Landon Collins. We're talking about who can they go out and get. It sounded to me in the way that, and Jerry was pretty passionate when he was talking about them, that he's expecting big things from them this year, and them to come in and really compete and see what they can do and actually have some depth at that safety position.
You know, one of the things that you could also point to in that is one of the guys that they kept was Dave Merritt, and he's the safeties coach. And so I think they recognize the kind of the situation that they put that position in terms of the injuries and all of those things. You know, I always found it a little troubling that the problems that we talked about in the preseason with the Giants and last offseason with the Giants wound up being the same problems that they had at the end of the season. And it was almost a self-fulfilling prophecy, it almost seemed like. So safety was one of them. Everybody was saying they need to get help with safety. They need to get help with safety. And eventually they brought in Merriweather and Dahl, and, you know, they did what they did and won't be back. But, safety was still an issue. So those young guys, while they were counted on to perform, I don't know what level they were counted on to perform at, and I don't know what level they're going to be able to perform at, because we haven't seen any of them really play a significant time. So it's going to be interesting to roll the dice on those three young guys, hoping that one of them steps forward.
We will try to squeeze in a couple calls with Tom Rock, so get on the line if you want to ask a couple questions about the Giants and free agents in the offseason. 201-939-4513. We will try to get you in before Tom departs in about 10 minutes. So, Tom, heading into now this free agency period, obviously you figure the focus is going to be on the defense. Is this going to be a situation where you think we're going to hear about the Giants getting a couple of big names in that first 24-hour period? Or is this going to be your typical, you know, Giants be patient, let things play out, and kind of do what they normally do?
No, I think there's an urgency. I think they definitely need to jump into this pool right away. They've been doing their research. They're going to know who's on the market and who's not by the time the bell rings on March 9th or whatever it is in about 2 weeks. So they'll be ready and poised. I think they'll be in a position where they'll have some signatures right away, or at least some visits right away lined up The Giants usually, bring them in and do their physicals and all those things before the ink is actually applied to the paper. But yeah, I think defense is definitely the way to go with the with free agency. You're going to need. You need pass rushers. We were just inside doing the math with Paul Schwartz and Art Stapleton. We were counting the number of sacks on players who will currently be on the roster as of the new league year, and there were three. It was Jonathan Casillas had two, and the fullback had one. And those are the only sacks that are coming back to this team guaranteed right now.
From last season.
Now, wow. Some of them are free agents, and you expect them back.
And Hankins, too, who was hurt, obviously.
Right, Hankins was hurt. But there were only three sacks coming back to this team. And that's a pretty scary number when you think about what this team has always built itself on. And when you look at how the Super Bowl was won, more importantly, and how the antidote for these big premier quarterbacks seems to be just knocking them on their butts.
Interesting. Just to make a quick note, I look around all the NFL cities and all the beat reporters. You guys seem to be pretty tight. Do you feel that? Do you feel like you and Schwartz and Art and even Ohm and,
it's an act.
No, it's not.
Yeah, we hate each other.
I think it's cool. You guys are always together. You're breaking bread together. You're traveling together. You're hanging out.
It is very different.
You don't. What I'm saying is you don't see that with a lot of beat reporters in other cities as close knit as you guys are.
It's very competitive. It's almost like when we talk to running backs sort of in training camp, and they talk about how they're a close bunch, but they're really competing against each other. I guess that's a little bit of the way it is with us.
It's cool.
We don't talk business very much. We don't talk. There's no bragging, I guess, about scoops. And sometimes some of us have better days than others. And there's days when you get beat. Actually, now in the business, there's hours where you get beat because everything's
on Twitter, right?
And you can come back right away and have a win. So. I don't think anybody keeps score. At least I don't. Maybe somebody else does. And
the editors, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, I don't. But yeah. No, it is. It is a good group. We get along well. We have a lot of fun. I'm sure. We were just in the press room laughing a little bit about one of the prospects sounded like Crush from Finding Nemo.
Were you listening to Joey Bosa?
Yes.
Very laid-back individual.
Hat to the back. Like it's true Italian.
Totally.
It's me. This is who I am.
I think some people were raising their eyebrows at how much noise we were making there. But, we're the New York media.
That's that New York bunch.
New York
those are those
media.
Giants guys. You mentioned Twitter. What's some of the fans out there who are tweeting, what's the information they want from you? What's give us some tweets that they're like, they need to be in the know with what?
Well, everybody wants to know who's coming back and who's not on the Giants. And
you have all the answers, of course.
Of course, I know everything. I'm just not tweeting it or telling anybody right now. My sense is that, the people you think will be back, and the people you think won't be back. I think Randall is sort of on probably on his way out. Somebody will also give him a deal. Prince Amukamara and Ayers, I think the Giants will probably put an offer on the table for them before free agency starts. They'll go out and test the market and most likely get a better deal from somewhere else. Or if they don't, they'll come back. Same with guys like Brinkley, maybe Marcus Kuhn in that same realm. I think there's a lot of interest from fans over who's going to be on this team next year, who's coming back next year. And right now, we don't know the answers. A lot of that depends on what other teams do and how they value these players, especially guys like Ayers and Prince, who are so hard to put a value on because when they're on the field, they're very productive, but they're not on the field enough, and so it becomes sort of a little bit tricky to try and gauge how much you want to invest in those guys.
It's interesting. Before we arrived here, I did not think that Prince and JPP and Ayers would be back.
You didn't think JPP would be back?
I did not. But since we've been here and the conversations we've had and the people we've had on the show, I'm sensing something different. I am, because the Giants have a nice chunk of change to play with. Mm-hmm. And I think you know, because, and you're another person who's been on who said, you know, unfortunately, like, the talent pool out there is not the best. This mm-hmm. is, you know, it's unfortunate. This is not the best year to have a ton of money because there's not a lot of grade A talent out there that you're going to be able to throw money at.
There goes Joey now.
Yeah. But, you know, but you're and the Giants are going to want to spend that money. And why would, you know, like when you look around the landscape, why would you lose heirs? Why not give
right.
JPP? I mean,
well, JPP is a little bit different because you have to project him a little bit differently. But if you look at a guy like Prince, you can't, if you just let him walk away, you need to replace him.
Well, yeah.
You know, you can't say, well, Prince is done. We're not going to pay him top cornerback money, and then, but you have to find somebody else to play top cornerback position.
But in being here, what's being communicated to us is that there's not a lot of teams that are knocking on Prince's door for top cornerback money.
Right. Right.
That's what we've been hearing for the past few days.
He may wind up coming back.
That's what I'm saying. So mm-hmm. Coming in here, I thought the Giants would lose a number of guys that are on that roster into free agency, but now I don't know. I'm not so sure right now.
Well, we'll find out next week.
No question. Anita mentioned Twitter. I got a couple of Twitter questions for you, Tom.
Oh, good.
How important do you think it is, and where should the Giants prioritize getting a number two wide receiver to play opposite Odell Beckham Jr.? That from A.J. Marshall.
You know, I thought it was interesting when we talked to, I guess it was Ben, right, who we asked him about wide receivers.
Yep.
And the only name he mentioned was Victor Cruz. And it seems a little foolhardy to kind of put all your eggs in that basket right now. You would think the Giants have learned that lesson from last year. Now, certainly they do need other players. They have a good... a couple of good guys on the roster who can play like the three and the four and maybe line up in the slot a little bit, but I think you do need that number two guy. Maybe Victor can come back and do it. I don't know. You know, it would certainly be a heck of a story if he could. But they definitely need a true wide receiver to be opposite Odell Beckham Jr. I think, just to take some of the defensive pressure off of him.
Another question I've seen on Twitter the last couple of days, Tom. The offensive line, obviously they moved on from Jeff Schwartz and Will Beatty. Mm-hmm. Is that a move they make that's going to be a significant one where they, you know, they've already used a lot of high draft picks on offensive linemen. Are they going to go out there and spend a significant amount of money to try to bring in a big-time offensive lineman to play on the right side? Are they going to try to, you know, use their priorities on defense and then figure it out? How do you think they're going to approach that offensive line?
Well, they got rid of one Schwartz. They may be bringing in another because his brother Mitchell Schwartz.
I thought you meant Paul.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. Well, they've been trying to get rid of him for years. I think he's got a lifetime deal.
Yeah, he might.
Once a Giant beat writer, always a Giant beat writer. So, but yes, Mitchell Schwartz is certainly a name, and he would come in and be a starting right tackle. You know, I think you got to look at that right side. I think they're pretty good. You know, center, left guard, left tackle, and then you look at the blueprint sort of that the Cowboys put forward in building their offensive line the way they did, and it was all draft picks. And the Giants have, in the last 3 years, have spent either a first or second round pick on that offensive line. Maybe they need another one, and then you have a sort of a core four group going forward, and they can blossom together and build together and grow together.
Another Twitter question: do you think the Giants, is from at Al Prep Music, Alex Levine? Do you think
Al?
The Giants are going to start reprioritizing the linebacker position this offseason, either in free agency or the draft?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they ever have put a priority on that position, and it's sort of the tight end of the defense. You know, those are the two positions where they always seem to just figure that they'll make do with what they have. You know, the last they've dabbled in some free agency. They've brought in some players: Antonio Pierce, Michael Boley. But you know, last year they brought in Casillas and
JT Thomas. Yep.
But those guys, I think Casillas was more of a special team signing and wound up playing linebacker. I certainly don't see them drafting in the first round a linebacker, even if Miles Jack winds up being there for them at 10, which would be an interesting conundrum. There's just no history of doing that at all.